details and to find a store near you.
Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about.
Talk Radio Countdown.
We had a good discussion in our caucus. I've had, of course, a number of meetings outside the caucus. And it's our belief that the bill that we will vote on this week has no riders on it, that H.R. 1 was so... did such bad things to so many programs. Not a single one of them is on this bill, and they've taken our numbers. These are our numbers. So we'll pass this, and then we'll look to funding the government on a long-term basis.
That's Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid from Nevada, positive that Congress will pass a bill to avoid a government shutdown. The budget and a possible government shutdown, that's where we start this hour of the Talk Radio Countdown Show, starting with the right Fox News and John Scott with Jim Angle talking about the scramble in Congress to avoid this shutdown. There's some input here from John Larson of Connecticut, a Democratic congressman, and Senator Kent Conrad from North Dakota. They are not very happy with the proposed extension.
Legislators in the House of Representatives are scrambling to avoid a government shutdown. They are debating a stopgap funding measure that would pay the government to run for another 2 weeks and buy time for Republicans and Democrats to reach a deal covering the rest of the fiscal year. Jim Angle is keeping an eye on all of this live from Washington. So where are we in the process now, Jim?
Well, John, the House will pass a two-week extension of spending authority today called a continuing resolution, or CR. That'll happen this afternoon, and then they'll send it to the Senate. Now, this particular bill would only cut $4 billion. That's 2 weeks' worth of the $61 billion House Republicans want to cut between now and October. Some Democrats are critical even of that amount, even though all of the cuts in there are things President Obama has proposed. Now, putting that puts House Democrats, obviously, in a tricky position. Listen,
I think I will probably vote in favor of it, even though I have severe questions. Nobody wants to shut down government. But in this, but at the same token, I don't want to see this death by a thousand slashes.
So there you have, there's some misgivings on the House side. There are even more misgivings on the Senate side among Democrats where the bill will go after it passes.
John? Well, yeah, that's the big question, isn't it? What happens in the Senate?
Well, that is the difficulty here. The Democratic leadership was at first skeptical when House Republicans came up with this plan last week. Then they realized it would be, you know, hard, if not odd, to turn down only $4 billion in cuts, which were also proposed by President Obama. But they haven't moved an inch on bigger cuts over the longer term. There is, however, a bipartisan group of deficit hawks that are working on a compromise package, but for the next 10 years, not the next 2 weeks or even the next 6 months. Listen.
You know, if you think about it, the conversation here in Washington is almost bizarre. We have a $1.5 trillion deficit. We have a $14 trillion debt. And the focus is on a $4 billion spending cut or a $61 billion spending cut. Hello? What's wrong with this picture?
And what the deficit hawks think is wrong with this picture, John, is that no one is looking down the road. They're just looking toward this fall. Now, what this group wants to do is cut a little less in the short term, but a lot more over the next 10 years, including some changes in entitlement programs such as Medicare.
And
John?
Very quickly, Jim, if we get this done by Friday, we have to do it all over again in 2 weeks?
I'm afraid so. This is going to be Groundhog Day with another big fight 2 weeks from now. And that will be tougher because it won't just be for $4 billion. It'll be for, with the House Republicans proposing $61 billion for the rest of this fiscal year, which ends in October.
You know, I hate to laugh, but it really is silly.
Here's John, a talk radio caller who thinks if Congress really wants to straighten things out, they need to stop giving away so many tax breaks.
What we need to do is straighten out the tax situation. You know, you just can't keep letting oil companies get all these tax breaks and expect to fix this. We just need to straighten out things that that take money from the poor people and give it over to the rich people.
Coming up, more on the efforts to cut spending, fix the budget, and avoid the shutdown. The Talk Radio Countdown Show is on the air.
Think about that special someone in your life. Good. Now push them aside and focus on you. Isn't it time you treated yourself to what could be hundreds of dollars in savings on your car insurance by switching to GEICO? Don't you want to join the other 4 million drivers who switched last year? Contact GEICO today for a free rate quote and show yourself how much you care about yourself.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
This is Troy Aikman.
And Hulk Hogan.
You know, in today's economy, getting tied up in a long-term contract can really be a trap.
Once you sign, you're on the line, brother.
Not at Rent-A-Center. You can rent to own without a long-term commitment. And if you need to, you can stop and start back up whenever you want.
So you'll never feel trapped.
Right now at Rent-A-Center, get a special price on Toshiba LCD HD TVs. Rent to own with no credit needed and no long-term commitment.
Rent-A-Center, the new way to shop.
In the new economy.
See Rent-A-Center.com for complete details and more information on the worry-free guarantee.
If you have dark circles and under-eye bags, we have some exciting news. We want to celebrate selling our millionth jar of Hydralyze Advanced Under-Eye Cream, and we're giving away as many risk-free trials as we can in the next 24 hours. To take part in our Million Jar celebration, call 1-800-754-6806 in the next 24 hours to find out how you can try Hydralyze free for 30 days. The clinically proven ingredients in Hydralyze visibly erase dark circles and under-eye bags, whether they're due to stress, aging, fatigue, even your diet. It works so well, we've sold 1 million jars. Now we want to celebrate by letting you try it absolutely risk-free. All celebrations have to come to an end, so this radio offer will not last forever. If you suffer from dark under-eye circles and bags, this is your chance to visibly erase them risk-free. Call now for your risk-free trial of Hydralyze. If lines are busy, call again. That's 1-800-754-6806. 1-800-754-6806.
For America's wounded warriors, coming home can sometimes be a battle in itself. Making the transition back to civilian life or active duty with a traumatic injury can be the challenge of a lifetime. The USO provides every American a way to support our wounded warriors and their families through every phase of their medical treatment and rehabilitation. It's how all of us, as a community, can give something back to our heroes. It's how we can say thank you and assure them that their sacrifice is recognized and appreciated by every one of us. Join us. Visit USO.org to learn how you can make a difference in the lives of our wounded warriors and their families. The USO, until everyone comes home.
I'm Doug Steffen, the host of the Talk Radio Review. Every day we get together, and on the weekend as well, let's get into spending cuts, the budget, possibility of a government shutdown. They are the focus in this part of the countdown. Congressman Dave Camp from Michigan, chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, talking to host Frank Beckman on his program about what Congress is doing to try to avoid the shutdown.
We're looking at this year's budget, of course, and $4 billion in reductions for 2 weeks, to really get us some time to negotiate a longer-term answer. And these $4 billion in spending reductions are really items that President Obama proposed in his budget either be zeroed out or not funded. And I think that this is really a good-faith offer to really try to get some time to get a longer-term solution. But we do need to reduce spending. We need to reduce spending because our debt is at 100% of our economy, and that is reducing our economic growth by about 1%, which costs us about 1 million jobs in the U.S. So you can make a direct connection between the size of our spending and debt and the inability of the economy to grow. And we're nationally, we're at 21 months of unemployment above 9%, in Michigan higher than that, significantly higher than that. And I think the American people really want us to find ways to reduce spending so that our private side of our economy will grow.
Mm-hmm. The good faith offer you talk about in cutting some of the deficit is one that a lot of people around the country embrace, but they also realize, I think, and because they've heard it from you leaders in Congress over and over and over again, that we can't get anywhere in really tackling our deficit and long-term national debt unless we do something about entitlement programs, and that includes very popular programs like Medicare and Social Security.
Well, you're right. The talk that we're having now is over the, what they call the discretionary side of the budget, which is about one-third of the spending, and then the two-thirds of the budget is on automatic pilot, or what they call entitlements. And that is long-term something that we need to address. And it's going to be about the sustainability of these very popular programs that are very much depended on by many people, because we cannot sustain them at current levels, at the current way we're operating. It's just not going to be possible. And so the question is, do we try to address those in a way that we can manage the changes that need to occur, or do we wait for a crisis where changes were made that are not in our control? So we need to begin that discussion. Our budget, which we'll be presenting in April, which will be about next year, will address not only the discretionary side, but also the mandatory side of the budget.
Are we going to see a series of continuing resolutions on spending, or are we going to see a budget sometime soon?
Well, I hope not. Part of the reason we're in this mess about this year is that last year, for the first time since 1974, neither the House nor the Senate passed a budget. So we're addressing last year's spending, and we've got 5 months of the year gone already. So I hope we don't have just a series of bite-sized steps. I think we need to, we're obviously going to do this one for 2 weeks, and hopefully in this two-week period, we can get our longer-term solution.
Missouri Talk Host E.J. Becker talking to Senator Roy Blunt of Missouri about what is going to happen next, assuming Congress passes the extension.
Senator, let me ask you about this compromise deal that we're hearing about on a budget extension for this year. Are we going to get something done here at least for the next couple of weeks so the government doesn't shut down at the end of the week?
It looks like we will. Nobody's for shutting down the government. And my side of this debate, which has been led by House Republicans, is that we cannot continue to spend the levels of money we're spending. And we can't be tricked into just saying, well, we're going to continue to spend those levels for one more month and then one more month after that and then one more month after that until we're at the end of this spending year and we spent all of the money that we were going to spend, and we were spending too much money. We're spending way too much of the capacity of the country to create goods and services, and this is just the beginning of the things we have to do to cut these discretionary programs that are about 15% of the budget by an annualized number of $100 billion. If the administration can't figure out how to do that, they can't figure out how to do anything, and the problem is a whole lot bigger than a $100 billion problem.
Host Brian Freeman talking to CBS political consultant Dottie Lynch about what's likely to happen if Congress doesn't end up passing this extension.
What does the GOP bill call for and hope to achieve?
Well, basically, it would keep the government running for only 2 weeks. So that's, I think, the snooze button. It'll give you a little reprieve. The government will still be funded, but would have to kind of go through this negotiation again on March 18th. So it would, if the House passes it and the Senate goes along, not only continue the government, but enact that $4 billion in spending cuts that the House made a few weeks ago in the bill that they passed.
Let's talk about the Senate. What's the likelihood that they'll go along with the House measure as it passes over?
Well, they've signaled that they would accept the $4 billion. But they want a longer period of time for more negotiation. They want it to go at least for a month and not just have this go on again 2 weeks from now. There's one little speculation that they might even take it up to $8 billion in cuts so that they will be seen as caring about the deficit, not being obstructionist on cutting, but wanting to have a longer time on negotiation.
Donnie, what does partial shutdown mean? Who gets shut down and who stays?
Well, the essential employees, people obviously in the military, defense, homeland security, people who are needed for the security of the country would keep on working. But all the what they call non-essential personnel who are running the agencies would be put on furlough.
You can weigh in on the shutdown by visiting our poll or leave a comment on our Facebook page. You can find connections to both of them at DougStephan.com.
Never buy home canning jar lids again.
No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793, 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
10%.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
I'm Doug Steffen, talking about what Talk Radio is talking about, what you're talking about. That includes the situation in Libya and Maine. Hosts Alan Altshuler and Mike Violette talk to ABC foreign correspondent Tom Rivers about the latest on the sanctions.
How warm is it for Muammar Gaddafi in Libya, Tom?
I guess it's pretty warm, but it's getting even warmer by the day. And I guess you don't want to be in his top entourage simply because Europe, which uses about 85% of the oil pumped out by the country, got together and the foreign ministers have agreed on travel bans for the top echelon, also freezing of assets of the senior Libyan officials. They've also ordered an arms embargo as well. So, I mean, it's a starting point. We'll see where it goes. There's some quote-unquote talk about a no-fly zone. David Cameron was in Parliament yesterday talking about that. But, again, it comes at a time when, for instance, Britain is absolutely broke. All of the Harrier jump jets, he just scrapped them all. All of the Nimrod surveillance planes, he scrapped them as well. An aircraft carrier, he scrapped that as well. So it's a lot of rhetoric coming from London at this stage of the game.
Now, apparently, pretty much he's lost the control, that is, of the eastern half of the country and has Tripoli and some other cities. Is that how it breaks down?
It kind of breaks down that way. Kind of the focus right now is this town about 30 miles west of Tripoli, Zahiriya. And they've been looking at that last night because they were it's encircled by pro-Qaddafi forces. For 6 hours, they tried to crack in to the center of this town of about 200,000, controlled by the rebels, unable to do so. If they're unable to do that there, it doesn't bode well for elsewhere in the country.
Certainly, Muammar Gaddafi and his son say they're going to live and die in Libya. Is that looking more likely to happen, or is it going to be a stalemate and just a civil war where they're divided into two countries?
Well, it's hard to I mean, it's hard to see how the rebels, for instance, are going to be able to do anything militarily on Tripoli. So, you know, that may well remain Gaddafi's, but as we've seen, what the EU is trying to do with these various sanctions is trying to get the message out, you know, to the middle-ranking members of Gaddafi's government. It's like, don't play ball with Gaddafi because you're going to go down and you're going to have a whole heap of trouble later on, and there could be criminal charges as well. So they're kind of saying, why don't you just meld away and join the rebels like some of the other factions in the army have done at this stage of the game. So that's what they're trying to do, divide, if you will, the very, very top, the untouchables, with those that are lower ranking that may see a future without him.
In the meantime, Tom, I was just reading here where Gaddafi apparently is trying to make nice with some people and show that he's still the only legitimate authority by sending, a truck or a bunch of trucks loaded with food and stuff out?
Yeah, it's curious, right? Sending medicine, for instance, to Benghazi out in the east. And, you know, this is an area where some of his forces went crazy a few days ago with automatic weapons. So it just, you know, it's one hand is like, here's some medicine. On the other hand, here's some bullets. It's a crazy mix.
Now a couple of talk radio callers with their suggestions for how the U.S. ought to get involved with what is going on in Libya.
The first thing I think we should do, and it would really be very cost-effective, is just translate a copy of our Bill of Rights into Arabic or whatever and just fax it over there and let them print it out and spread it around and say, look, I mean, that's a formula for success. It might not be perfect, but it worked over here. And then I think that we should do anything that anyone over there asks us to do because, really, they're part of our country, too. Everyone from over there is from over here. And, you know, we are from everywhere. We are the world, aren't we? I mean, you know, people worry about, people get shot, and then they go out and there's 30,000 people killed on our highways every year. Get real, right, you know?
I'm an Eisenhower Republican, you know, who thinks that the two most rewarding things I've done is read and grow my own food. That being said, that the issue of this Middle East breakup, it's a real tricky tightrope to walk because, you know, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. And so far, I think President Obama is doing a good job, but, you know, you don't want to encourage the people because then they might be getting killed.
Now, your turn on the countdown. What do you think about what's happening in Libya? 800-510-8255. More involved? Less involved? Sanctions work? 800-510-TALK. Your calls coming up on the countdown.
Welcome to Ask the Mermaid. We have Bobby on line one.
Hello?
Well, hello, Bobby. What's your question?
Why do you say chicken of the sea is the best tuna?
Because it tastes great.
Why?
Because chicken of the sea tuna has a fresh, delicate flavor.
Why?
Because we want your whole family to love it.
Why?
Oh, no. I think we lost Bobby.
Ask any mermaid you happen to see. What's the best tuna? Chicken of the sea.
Hear that? That's the sound of one driver. Now, hear that? That's the sound of 40 million drivers. That's how many drivers choose State Farm Insurance. Why do more people choose State Farm? Could everyone please jingle their car keys? Sounds like the jingle of money. Money they're saving from all those State Farm discounts. Want State Farm to find you discounts up to 40%? Go to discountdoublecheck.com and see what you could save. Discount percentage and availability may vary by state.
Do you crave eggs? I do. Eggs are an incredible way to start your day. Your boys heard that breakfast is the most important meal of the day, right? But a breakfast that contains eggs helps you stay full longer and keeps you energized throughout the day. And here's why. Eggs are a good source of all-natural, high-quality protein. Just one egg has lots of essential vitamins and minerals in varying amounts for just 70 calories. And an average of just 15 cents apiece, eggs are one of the most affordable sources of high-quality protein, and they deliver a big nutrient bang for your buck. From America to Asia, eggs are celebrated around the world for their versatility, affordability, and nutrient density. Take a trip around the world without even leaving your kitchen by visiting the recipe section of IncredibleEgg.org, home of the incredible edible egg.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you need MyPillow. Guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Using a patented fill, MyPillow adjusts to your exact individual needs by gently supporting your head, shoulders, and neck. MyPillow has a natural built-in cooling effect, keeping your cervical nerves cool, giving you the best sleep of your life. MyPillow will never go flat and relieves snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, fibromyalgia, and many other disorders. It's antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, and best of all, machine washable and dryable. MyPillow is made in the USA, has a an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and an industry-leading 10-year warranty. Order today at MyPillow.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. Mention coupon code GCN and receive 20% off your order. What do you have to lose except poor sleep? MyPillow.com, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own, guaranteed.
This special announcement is brought to you by Renaissance Charge.
Have you ever wondered if you could make your car run on 100% electric power for free? It is now possible. How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and a free energy generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you lots of money? Because our customers asked for it, we have organized a Renaissance Charge Conference workshop on July 29th to July 31st at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy, Tesla technology. Register early for the best seats and advanced workshop by visiting rcharge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
It's a new year full of uncertainties. People are being laid off in record numbers. The price of food continues to rise, and the economy continues to falter. You know that you need to prepare, and maybe you've been putting it off, but the time to act is now. That's why you need to visit OrganicaSeed.com. At OrganicaSeed.com, you'll find one of the largest online selections of heirloom seeds and survival seed packs, as well as the giant vegetable seed collections that can feed you and your family for years. Imagine growing your very own fresh vegetables, wheatgrass, fruits, herbs, rice, tea, coffee, and tobacco. With detailed growing guides available to you at no charge, you can maximize your harvest and investment. And the best part? All orders ship within 24 hours. So head over to OrganicaSeed.com. That's OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com today.
Store near you.
Counting down or counting up, I guess, depends on how you look at things or listen to things. We're working with the numbers, and the items that are before us, usually during the weekday countdown, are the items of the day. And then we put together a three-hour extravaganza on the weekend for you to listen to that basically reset and retell the stories, the top 10 stories of the week. So we're dealing with a couple of the hot ones in this hour, as usual. Libya. The protesting over there continues, and the protesting in Wisconsin continues. Let's listen in as talk host Tommy Tucker speaks with CBS correspondent Edward Uranian, who's in the Middle East, about how much of Libya Gaddafi may still control.
Tell us exactly where you are and what the situation is in Libya.
I'm actually in Cairo, but
Cairo,
I'm monitoring the Arab satellite television channels, the eyewitness accounts on Jazeera TV and on Arabia TV. Well, the blow basically is Colonel Gaddafi has lost most of western Libya in addition to eastern Libya, which he lost a week ago, give or take a few days. He's been trying to mount an offensive in several towns over the last couple of days in a town called Zawiya and Misrata, and all accounts from eyewitnesses indicate that he hasn't been able to take any ground in either of those two towns. Arabia TV said earlier that Gaddafi, forces loyal to Gaddafi, control about 12 checkpoints on the road leading to the Tunisian border, and they also apparently retook one town called Nalut, which is not very important, but the overwhelming sense you have is that he's basically controlling only Tripoli and mounting offensives periodically, briefly, outside of three military camps inside the city, and the forces that are loyal to him are marginally loyal, and they're basically straddling the fence, other than maybe a few commanders who are a bit more zealous.
Edward, you know, this has become new to us here in this country, and I think Egypt put it on the radar. So if you could use Egypt as an index, perhaps, contrast and compare what's going on in Libya to Egypt in terms of Gaddafi, the government, the military, the people, et cetera, and where it is there now compared to what was going on in Egypt, if you understand the question.
Yes, sure. Yeah, Tommy, I think the one overwhelming point that one needs to make is Colonel Gaddafi, in comparison to Hosni Mubarak, is nuts. He's a crazy man, and I probably shouldn't say that, but since the UN Ambassador Susan Rice said it yesterday, I think I may as well say it as well. Beyond that, you know, he has arms all over the place. He's armed these popular committees in all the little towns. He's called this his Jamahiriya, his popular republic, and there's no central control. They were basically, everyone was against each other. Everyone was armed to the teeth, and even the military had different command structures, which is not the case in Cairo at all. So the military in and of itself cannot surrender. There are too many different units with different loyalties, whereas in Egypt it was a centralized organization, and when the general, the defense minister and those around him decided, well, it was time to call it quits or time to ask Hosni Mubarak to go, that decision was final.
Well, not that it wasn't interesting to listen, but as you heard Uranian say, he was sitting in a hotel in, I think, Cairo watching all this stuff, so might as well be sitting in a hotel in New York, right? The information has been repeated any number of times. We'll try to get a few more bits and pieces of exclusive or compelling information. Here's from ABC, Tom Rivers, talking to a couple of hosts named Dave Hogan and Carl Swan about the countries that are actually trying to help out the people of Libya.
A lot of development. Every day there's developments, even over the weekend. We've got to keep tracking this thing. And a couple of fronts. Let's start in Geneva. We've got Hillary Clinton there along with foreign secretaries from a number of other countries, including Britain, France, Germany, Italy. They're all wanting to sing from the same sheet. We're expecting a final communique coming out of there in a few hours, but we'll see what happens. Right now, France is doing something on its own, saying it's going to get transport planes to drop humanitarian aid into Benghazi in the east. And the question is, how much financial, humanitarian aid can the West give without giving, you know, what you don't want to do is send crates of ammo and guns because that may backfire on you down the road somewhere. Yeah. So it's a difficult one at this stage of the game.
We're hearing the phrase civil war bandied about now. Do you think it's gotten to that?
You know, it's a great question, and we're all watching it closely because you don't know which way the domino is going to fall. Mm-hmm. But the big thing to watch right now is this town about 30 miles west, as you probably know, of Tripoli. Mm-hmm. Zahira, and it's about a town of about 200,000. The rebels now control this town. It's so close to the stronghold of Tripoli. Everybody's watching it. And the question really is now, because you've got, in essence, pro-Qaddafi forces encircling this town. Now, this thing could be a bloodbath, or, as we've seen in days gone by, more and more elements of the Qaddafi military saying, look, this is not worth fighting. We're on the losing side of this equation. We're just going to put down our arms and walk away. We don't know where it's going to go. That's why we got to keep watching this one very closely.
Tom, are there any foreign nationals who are still in Libya that need some help getting out?
You know, there's probably a few stragglers. Most of them are out now using ships, using cargo transport planes, using also chartered commercial planes. That kind of worked its way through the system. Just about everybody that wants to go has. There's still probably are a few pockets. There may be, you know, who knows, in the next day or two, a mop-up kind of flight thing. You know, whoever can possibly get on this thing, get to the airport or, you know, get to this port, get on this thing, because we're really running out of avenues at this stage.
You know, the Gaddafi brothers, the sons there, it almost sounds like a vaudeville act. The Gaddafi brothers, and kind of the way they're acting, too, have seemed to have relented in the last 24 to 36 hours and have let some Western correspondents in with the idea that they want to talk to them to try to put the best face on this. My partner, Dave, here, said it reminded him of Baghdad Bob back then. All is calm. Everything is okay. Do not worry. Are you seeing that?
We're seeing some of that, too. You're absolutely right. After trying to shut things down, they said, well, I guess that didn't do very well for us, so we decided let's bring them on in. Some in, they brought some down to this town of Zahira yesterday, and to say, you know, look at guys, we've got people here that are on our side, and they get there, what are they confronted with? anti-Qaddafi protesters. So, you know, whatever way at this stage of the game, Qaddafi brothers are on the losing side of the equation.
We had heard, and I suppose it's still the case, that the Qaddafis themselves had been importing mercenaries from Chad, from Sudan, and this sort of thing. Are they still playing a role in this?
Well, again, we've, you know, anecdotally, we've heard these reports, and we've seen now documented footage of individuals from Chad that are being held by the rebels. How did they get there? Well, you know, I guess they were flown in.
Yeah.
How many of them? We don't know, but it certainly was a strategy of Qaddafi to put these people out there to shake up his own people from his own country.
All right, 800-510-8255. Maybe we get a little bit more out of that, but more sort of from the sidelines looking in. Let's take some of your calls at 800-510-8255. The thinking is Libya could descend into civil war unless Qaddafi quits. The demand for his departure intensifying pressure on him after there have been a lot of there's been a lot of outside focus on this. The people inside, though, seem to want to take care of it themselves. You saw some of the signs. They didn't say America go home, but basically leave us alone. We can handle this ourselves. Much reference to Iraq and what happened there when we went in. Michael calls from Los Angeles with thoughts on Qaddafi.
I listen to everybody, and I've been watching this whole situation because I'm a photojournalist myself for over 25 years. Colonel Qaddafi basically, he's doing this deliberately. The big picture is that this man basically has never forgiven Ronald Reagan in regards to the attack that he did there, and Colonel Qaddafi thought, you know, said that one of his family members had died. This man basically was planning this all along, and he basically just, showing his true colors, basically. And that, you know, and the end scheme of it is that he is going to, in some way, attack America.
Oh, here we go. All right, it's very entertaining anyway, one way or the other. 800-510-8255. Dave in Pennsylvania talks to you.
Where do we draw the line? We've been involved in the East, I mean, for how long? At least since 1990. That's 21 years. You know, we're constantly there defending somebody for what? At the root of everything. For what? For oil. For oil. We spend over $10 billion a month to fund our military and sacrifice our servicemen's lives over there who joined to protect the country, not the price of oil. Instead of spending all of that money, why don't we turn our efforts into to finding more ways to run our cars more fuel efficient? We're sitting on a pretty nice national reserve. But the same aspect, they had this thing, you know, called NATO. Why do we always have to be, you know, up front, the first one to come in with the military force and the might? You know, because every time it's done at our taxpayers' expenses, it's a United Nations, and we're always the ones front and shoulder rolling up our sleeves and look at how much we could do for our own country right here at home. Let them drop the bombs on the runway, at least cut the planes off temporarily, but let somebody else make that call. We just got out of there. And all those servicemen that gave their lives and died, they died for our country, not for somebody else's country, not for somebody else's democracy. They died for the United States. Just a simple idea, and I mean, it's real cut and dry. Put a circle around the United States. You cross the line, your butt is mine.
All right, Maryland, South Carolina, you please are up next.
It does sound really clear from the videos that have been cut out and the witnesses that were kidnapped by Ferry, eyewitnesses, that there's some really terrible things going on there. And I just, in the U.N. sanctions versus the United States, I feel that it would be probably better for the United States not to do too much unilaterally, but work together with the international community and put as much pressure as possible to get, you know, any of this violence stopped as soon as possible. And, you know, it would make the United States look better. I don't think we should go running around trying to be the policeman of the world, you know. And there are so many other countries that have denounced what's happened. I think we should kind of stick together and be part of the community denouncing it and doing whatever might help as soon as possible to stop what's going on there.
We visit Wisconsin next on the countdown.
Time now for the final round. Mike has blue eyes, Jim has brown eyes. What does Joe have?
Bronchitis?
Correct.
Yes.
If X marks the spot...
Y folds the laundry.
Correct.
Woo!
How many TV episodes does Netflix let you watch instantly for only $8 a month?
As many as you want.
Correct. Watch unlimited episodes of your favorite TV shows and movies instantly for your game console or other devices. All for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
Jack be nimble, Jack be quick. Jack knocked over a candlestick onto the shag carpeting, and his pants ignited into flames, causing him to stop, drop, and roll. Luckily, Jack recently had Geico help him with renter's insurance, because all his belongings went up in flames. Jack got full replacement and now has new pants he ordered from the Nana Republic. Visit Geico.com and see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
For America's wounded warriors, coming home can sometimes be a battle in itself. Making the transition back to civilian life or active duty with a traumatic injury can be the challenge of a lifetime. The USO provides every American a way to support our wounded warriors and their families through every phase of their medical treatment and rehabilitation. It's how all of us, as a community, can give something back to our heroes. It's how we can say thank you and assure them that their sacrifice is recognized and appreciated by every one of us. Join us. Visit USO.org to learn how you can make a difference in the lives of our wounded warriors and their families. The USO, until everyone comes home.
My grandfather got me started collecting coins when I was very young. And after all these years, I still get a special kick out of holding a classic U.S. gold coin in my hand. After all, millions of them were melted down during the Depression, so a classic U.S. gold coin is really hard to find these days. But now, the New York Mint is releasing a small hoard of classic U.S. gold coins that was recently discovered in the vault of a bank in Paris, France, of all places. All of them are uncirculated and over 100 years old. Well, I had to call. I mean, who knows when they'll ever find a collection of gold coins like this again. And once they're gone, they're gone. So, if you want to get your hands on a classic U.S. gold coin, you better call now.
Don't miss your chance to own a valuable piece of American history. For free historical information and free collector's DVD, call now. 1-800-914-1029. That's 1-800-914-1029. 1-800-914-1029.
This is Troy Aikman.
And Hulk Hogan.
You know, in today's economy, getting tied up in a long-term contract can really be a trap.
Once you sign, you're on the line, brother.
Not at Rent-A-Center. You can rent to own without a long-term commitment. And if you need to, you can stop and start back up whenever you want.
So you'll never feel trapped.
Right now at Rent-A-Center, get a special price on Toshiba LCD HD TVs. Rent to own with no credit needed and no long-term commitment.
Rent-A-Center, the new way to shop.
In the new economy.
See Rent-A-Center.com for complete details and more information on the worry-free guarantee.
The Wisconsin protest in the focus here. Here's from Wisconsin host Mitch Hank talking to a caller about all the ads on radio and television focused on the unions.
Let's go to the phones. Thanks for waiting. Go ahead, Ron.
Yes, I am so curious. The millions that are getting spent in TV and radio ads, just bashing the governor.
Yeah.
You know, where's all this money coming from?
Well, that's dues paid by union members into unions, and that's... Yeah.
Maybe instead of spending all of that money on television and radio, if they're that concerned about the cuts they're going to take, share it with them and give some of it back.
Yeah, I mean, you could do that. It's not going to go very far. I mean, there's 300,000 public workers in the state of Wisconsin or something like that, 200,000, 300,000. I mean, it's a lot of workers. You're not going to get far with a couple million dollars. But, I mean, yeah, that's certainly something to consider. I mean,
I wonder how much of that money is coming from out of the state.
Oh, I bet a lot of it is. I mean, you know, when you think about, well, these unions, especially the service employees union, you know, that's nationwide. I mean, money's got to be flowing in from other places. It's got to.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Well, because it's ground zero. I mean, it's ground zero of this whole union fight. It's got to be coming in from other places.
Exactly. And we need to make some smart decisions here because we're broke. But apparently they aren't broke.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it. I mean, it seems like, well, and again, I think we've addressed this question before, too, is that this is clearly, they're seeing this as the one moment where they've got to come through or potentially, from their perspective, lose it all. By the way, Instant Message listener says, where's all the money for the Pro Walker ads coming from?
Good question. Well, you know where it's coming from. From the Koch family. More updating on the unrest in Wisconsin and other states here as we continue on the countdown.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
This is Alex Jones with five good reasons you should consider buying a solar power generator. Number one, new climate legislation could easily double or triple your electric bill. Number two, our new energy czar wants to control how much power your electric company allows you to have. It's true. Total government control of electricity in the name of smart grid technology is coming. Number three, in some areas of the country, the power grid is dangerously overloaded. And now new socialist legislation is only compounding the problem. Number four, dangerous weather is always a threat to local grids. Every year, thousands of families lose their power from weather-related outages. Number five, a solar power generator provides powerful backup, insurance, and peace of mind. Folks, I really believe in the solar power generators offered by Solutions from Science, one of my oldest sponsors. You can get more information at www.mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Remember, the government doesn't own the sun, so go to mysolarbackup.com or call 1-877-327-0365.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
It's more interesting than talking about Charlie Sheen, maybe. Yeah, is more at stake for sure. The change in America is happening, and you can feel it and sense it and perhaps enjoy it. 54 minutes after the hour, Doug Steffen here with a focus now on the Wisconsin protest to continue. Let's listen to the update on this. As you know, the governor has stepped up the pressure this week on the Senate Democrats who left to avoid a vote. This is a small state trying to rewrite the rules of labor relations, and it has been blown up into what could be the biggest confrontation with American labor since, Ronald Reagan fired all the striking air traffic controllers? That was 1981. You think that's the case? 800-510-8255. This is an excellent time for you to get your thoughts in here if you have them, whether it be Doug at DougSteffen.com through an email, some Facebook comment, or your voice, which would be cool. Before we get to that, though, we go to North Carolina, where host Bill DeMay talked to Rob Schofield from North Carolina Policy Watch about the whole idea of collective bargaining for state employees.
Is it right to collective bargaining? I hear it is.
Well, I think a lot of people think it ought to be. Obviously, in North Carolina, it's not. And it's a matter of law. It's a matter of what a state government says. Obviously, a lot of people think that it's a fundamental human right, actually, and that it ought to be internationally recognized. And I think I probably would go along with that. When a majority of workers in a workplace want to do it, and they make a determination democratically that it's their benefit, I think it probably ought to be a right. But right now, certainly not the case in North Carolina. No matter how many workers in North Carolina want to do it, certainly at the state level or when it comes to state government, it's against the law. So,
well, what about those who don't want to join a union? Should they have some kind of a right to be able to work, for instance, for the state of Wisconsin as a teacher without joining the union?
I think Sure. I mean, I don't think anybody's forcing them.
Yeah. They're forced to. You can't work unless you join the union and then have dues taken by the state.
Okay. All right. I see what you're saying. You're talking about the closed shop, open shop. Yeah. I mean, here's what the argument goes. I mean, I'm not sure where I come down on it, quite honestly. The argument is, and I think the proponents of it make a pretty strong case, that if you are enjoying the benefits of being a member of that workplace,
you ought to pay in.
You ought to be a member. I think there's an argument they make there. That's a pretty strong one.
All right. Should collective bargaining be a right, or is there something to a right to work? Which is it? Do you raise collective bargaining to a right like free speech, or is it something less than that? Wayne, welcome to the show.
I just feel like it is a right. I think anytime you have when you think about collecting all of the data from all of the history of the struggle of the working people, and it comes down to this, I believe it's absolutely a right of every American, not just an American, any working group in any class system all over the world.
All right, who agrees with that? Here from our affiliate in Delaware, WDEL, host Alan Ardell speaks to pollster Tom Jensen to figure out whether the Wisconsin voters like what Governor Walker is doing or not.
You did a poll of registered Wisconsin voters?
Yep.
Did you make an attempt to identify the ones who actually voted in the last election, or was it just registered Wisconsin voters?
This is just everyone, not just restricting it to people who voted last fall.
Okay, because you'd start to wonder whether that might alter the outcome. Well, what did you all find given your base of people you called?
Well, we found that if voters could do it over again, they would actually vote for the Democratic candidate for governor, Tom Barrett, over Scott Walker by a 52-45 margin. What's interesting within those numbers is things have barely changed in non-union households at all. The folks who we polled in non-union households said they voted for Walker by 7 points. They still say they'd vote for Walker by 4 points. But when you look at those union households, which is almost a third of Wisconsin voters, they now say they'd vote for Barrett by 31 points over Scott Walker, and they only voted for him by 14 in November. So a fair amount of buyer's remorse.
So this is probably more what we would call kind of the conservative, blue-collar unions, the sort of people might have voted for Reagan, the Reagan Democrats in the 80s. Those people, maybe conservative on some social issues and law enforcement, wanted to give Walker a chance, but given his anti-union stance, they're swinging back.
Yeah, that's exactly right. What we found is there's actually been very little movement among Democrats since November because all the Democrats voted for the Democratic candidate to begin with.
Yeah, that's always going to be the case, I think. Pretty interesting to see the labor clash that the NFL is having with its union, isn't it, huh? Is that more of the same? More it is, right? Another labor union having a fight with the people that don't want to pay them any more money. After all, they make such a paltry sum. 59 after on the countdown.